How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Outlet to Hayward, cross the half line with 20 on the shot clock. Waiting for an early drag screen. He gets it from Favors. Takes a left-hand dribble right down the barrel. Puts a left-hand hammer on Thonmaker. And the Jazz bench erupts. 11th dunk of the night for the Jazz.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 1st of March. The Russell Westbrook Show. Too much for the Jazz to handle. Back-to-back struggles against All-Stars for Dante Exum. Now what for the Jazz without the George Hill extension? And a look ahead to Minnesota. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. I just lined up for you the four topics that we're going to hit. Last night's loss to Oklahoma City. How big a deal is it and what took place? Where do the Dante Exum's back-to-back poor games? Where do the Jazz go now with George Hill and the no extension done, and a quick look at Minnesota. It's all coming up on today's show. Thanks very much for tuning in. This is Locked On Jazz. We do this Monday through Friday, each and every day. And you are welcome to subscribe. In fact, I'd like it if you subscribed on iTunes or whatever your podcatcher is, and if you get a chance to leave five stars. Today's show is brought to you by my friends at SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the number one place to get tickets to any event. You may have heard about SeatGeek a few times, whether it's here or Locked On NBA or other places along the way, and there is a reason everyone's talking about it, because it is the first place I go for tickets to a game or a concert. It's just an app on your phone. You can use it to set a price alert to an upcoming event or whatever it might be that you want to. It's pretty cool. They pull all of the tickets from all the other sites in one place, so you don't have to go on that endless search to find out where tickets are and which tickets are the best. The second one that's really cool is they give every ticket a ticket deal score, and that allows you to know, based on value, what's the best price. You can kind of set in your mind, all right, you know what, I'm willing to pay this, go down to your price point, and then look to see what's the best deal for that money. And it's really cool. It's always honest and upfront right there, and the check it comes out to you on the phone, perfectly secured. So really a fabulous app. And then the best part is you get a $20 rebate after your first SeatGeek purchase for using the promo code LOJAZZ. So download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, add the promo code LOJAZZ, and they'll send you $20 after you make your first purchase. Do it now. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LOJAZZ. All right, let's start. Let's get it rolling right away with a little pins across the world. He nervously heads into pins across the world. Let's see. I am from Manhattan, Kansas. Does it sound all right to everybody? Eric Rourke here of great Coach Bill Snyder. I'm 20 years old. I'm currently an engineering student at Kansas State. I've never really had a huge attachment to my professional sports team, but since following Gordon Hayward from the college game, he's always been drawn toward the Jazz. Bottom line, I'm a huge basketball fan, so I decided to just pick a team and follow it. And the team was the Jazz, and I've since fallen in love with the team, and I enjoy your podcast and listen to them every day. Thanks, Eric. Any chance you'd ever do Locked On NBA or NCAA? We've actually talked to a potential host and some other things. I don't think we're ready for expansion. I don't think I'm ready for expansion right now. I think I got to make sure I have enough time for all the things I'm doing. That's our pins across the world. Let's go to last night's ballgame. Well, frankly, what an incredible, I have really mixed emotions on this night. So overall, big picture, a loss to Oklahoma City is bad, because a win against Oklahoma City would have been mammoth. Had the Jazz found a way to win last night, Oklahoma City is now four back in the loss column, and eliminates them from possibly catching the Jazz. And so when you get to that kind of situation and then don't win that game, that's disappointing. Because if you'd won last night, I think you could eliminate the possibility of ever being seventh. you know, we're floating somewhere between 4, 5, 6, and 7 now in the Western Conference. It's not really clear where we're going to be. And a win last night had, would probably have eliminated 7th. We didn't get it. So that's the aspect. From a big picture standpoint, it was really a pretty incredible performance. Hard to criticize the Jazz for much last night. They got hit by an absolute unreal onslaught last night by a not very particularly good three-point shooting team. In fact, the worst in the NBA. Now, Abrines is playing, and he's a better three-point shooter than some others have been. And McDermott, they now have, who's a better, and Gibson's a better pick setter. And there's some reasons why they're going to be a better, they're not going to be the worst three-point shooting team in the league. But they're also not going to be hitting 12 straight threes to open a game, which I believe has never happened in NBA history. And the fact that the Jazz just didn't get run out of the gym at that point is, again, a credit to their character, their fight, and their perseverance to the system. I actually think the sequence of the game where they lost last night is they did lose their bearings, right, understandably, for a short period of time in last night's game. And where the three-pointers just started to fall at such a rate that they started getting out of their game plan and out of their system and allowed, I think, 4 straight possessions at the rim for dunks in that second quarter. And that's probably the area where the Jazz kind of may have actually lost the game. It wasn't the three-point shooting. It was that just they got worn out by the insane three-point shooting that they got out of what they're doing. And in turn, you know, that cost them, may have cost them. I mean, it's a hard way to look at it, but I do think that's actually part of what happened last night. Then when they kind of came back around and they fought, the Jazz did just an incredible job of getting back into this game, holding the Thunder in the fourth quarter, making a run, having the lead. You know, frankly, they just missed 2 shots. It's a make-or-miss lead. George Hill and Gordon Hayward had 2 threes that, if they had made them, both were good looks, that the Jazz win that game. But then Russell Westbrook did superhuman things. I mean, I hope that somewhere in your Jazz fandom you were able to enjoy Russell Westbrook last night, because we have simply never seen this. The rebound he grabs last night and then takes it with 19 seconds left and scores 4 seconds later, plus the foul to give them the 2-point lead with 15 seconds left, was just unbelievable. The pull-up 3, Jazz are up 4 after Joe Johnson hits a 15-foot step back, and Westbrook answers with just an unreal 3 with 38 seconds left. He scored 12 straight points to close the game for the Thunder in the final 2:05 of the game. And the fact is, you know, you can look at the Hayward miss with 20 seconds left and the Hill miss with 10 seconds left, but to the Jazz credit, they had scored on about every other possession. At some point, you know, at some point it comes, the Jazz, starting at about the 6-7 minute mark, scored on a Burks floater, scored on a hood shot. Hayward misses a shot. They score on the next one, they're 3 for 4. They miss on the next one, they're 3 of their last 5. Then they get really hot. 4 of 6, Hill scores. 5 of 7 possessions. They turn it over, they're 5 of 8. Then Johnson hits a 3. They've scored on 6 of 9. Hood scores. They've scored on 7 of 10. Hill goes to the free throw line. They've scored on 8 of 11. Hood gets 3 free throws on a gift, and they take the 4-point lead. They've scored on 9 of 12 possessions. Gobert lays it up and in. They've scored on 10 of 13 possessions. Joe Johnson scores. They've scored on 11 of 14 possessions. So then they miss 2 shots. You know, at some point, you know, finally, they scored on 11 of their final 16 possessions. They just happened to not score in the last 2. Pretty awesome performance. And then Russ was just great. So, disappointing loss in the sense it has huge standings implications. Great performance. Awe-inspiring by Russ is my takeaway for last night's game. The Jazz, other problem the last 2 nights, is that Dante is not ready right now to play against top-line point guards. And make sure we understand, we just faced the best Eastern Conference point guard and the best Western Conference player. Maybe Kyle Lowry, but he really can't play. He couldn't play against John Wall and Russell Westbrook. And the problem there in there lies that the Jazz are trying to run a really – they have a system down which they want, which is Joe Johnson is the first sub playing the four. George Hill is going to finish all quarters. So if you go to the fabulous site popcornmachine.net and look at the Jazz game flow every night, it's they're trying to build – the Jazz are trying to build a point where they can dictate what's happening. But unfortunately – right now, with Dante, they can't. So Dante's first stint lasted 50 seconds. And this is how Dante ended up out of the lineup earlier this year, is when he couldn't stay on the floor consistently, this time because of two fouls trying to guard Russ, which is brutal. Then Quinn just, it dislodges everything else that's going on. Suddenly, they don't want their guys playing more than 33 minutes last night. No one does, except for suddenly George Hill plays 38. Right, and now the Jazz are maybe in jeopardy tonight because of that. Dante's second stint, he only lasts 2 minutes in the second quarter before the Jazz now try to come back with something different. And George, so his George Hill's rest. Well, Alec Burks came in for Dante Exum, and frankly, I don't know why we insist on continuing. I mean, I get it. I mean, there was no other choice. I don't really know why we continually try to insist on Alec Burks playing the one. He just, it's not an area where it's been 4 years and I've never seen him be good at it. So I know it's because he can handle the ball and he made a beautiful pass to Favors and it's not the same. So anyway, in that stretch last night when AB plays, we're only minus two, but it just now AB's off kilter. He's not playing in the same way. Everyone's minutes are off because of that. And that's pretty important. Like, we've got to figure out. And then in the third quarter, Dante just doesn't play. We just try to link without it when George Hill goes to the bench. And the first time it was George Hill actually plays the entire first quarter. So now George Hill is completely off of what he regularly does. And he played pretty well down the stretch, so it didn't seem as though it bothered him a great deal. But, he did. Now he suddenly played an entirely different sequence of how it's going. And then, to defend Dante for a minute, I just think he's completely lost on, well, one, I think he's outclassed at times, right? Against John Wall and Russell Westbrook, as are most guys. But the key when you're playing those guys is you've got to find a way just to be good enough that you're not a problem, because they're so dang good. And right now, he doesn't know that yet. Wall was stripping it from him, and Westbrook was coming at him. And then the second one is, I just don't know if Dante knows, and understandably so, what it is that is going to make him successful. He scores three games in a row with 10 points, and he gets so much positive feedback from fans and everybody else for 10 points a game, but that's really not what the Jazz look at Dante and want from him. It's hard, and then Dante has that wild drive out of the system one-on-one in the lane and throws up a terrible shot last night. And I understand what he's doing. He's trying to make a play, prove his value, but the fact of the matter, at that time, he's on the floor with guys, and he's probably the fifth option. And so he's got a tough job here that, one, in his rookie year, he just kind of tipped his toe in the water, never really figured out what was going to make him particularly successful. Number two, now he comes off the ACL. He's finally feeling good. You can see his athleticism's much better. He's aggressively going to the basket twice last night, taking contact in a way he never has. So you're seeing all these signs of progress, but I don't think he knows what success is for him right now. Like, what would he define as a good game? He might tell us in the media, I have a good defensive game. But I'm not sure he's trying to be overly aggressive and prove his value. Doesn't want to just, it's very, very difficult for him right now. Very, very difficult. And I feel for him. But that was a huge part of last night's game, is that because his rotation inability to stay on the floor in the rotation then dislodges everything that's going on. And that's a little bit of that's two games in a row that's happened. And if you're the head coach, that's a problem. So it'll be interesting to see. I know the Jazz are committed and want him, but it also means, you know, in a playoff series, that's, in all likelihood, Mike Conley, Chris Paul, James Harden. James Harden defensively, probably not as big an issue, but Patrick Beverley would be. And so, you know, coming up, if he's going to play in the playoffs, which we'd like him to do, these are the matchups he has to be able. He doesn't have to win them. He's got to be able to stay on the floor. All right, the third thing I want to touch on is where the Jazz are with George Hill. By the way, if you'd like to advertise on Locked On Jazz, your sponsorship could go right here. And you would reach a male audience. 97% of our audience is male. 74% of it is between the ages of 18 and 44. So if your company wants 18 to 44-year-old men, boom. If you want 25 to 54-year-old men, boom. Because we're about 73% on that audience for you over the last period of time. I could give you the exact analytics right in front of me. I have those. I have access to that. Our audience from 18 to 44 is actually now up to 77% male, as is our audience of 25 to 54. So we've actually increased kind of those core people. So if you're interested in advertising in the program, we think our rates are reasonable. You can email me at dlock09@gmail.com. And recent studies have shown that the people that listen to podcasts are much more interested in helping and promoting out sponsors to podcasts that they get for free than in other formats. So feel free to email me, dlock09@gmail.com. All right, so a few things here. I went through yesterday a little bit of why the deal doesn't get done. That, you know, from a Jazz standpoint, there's a limit to what they can offer. First of all, if the Jazz offered George Hill everything that they could, it's less than what George Hill could go get on the market in the offseason. So that's the first thing. And then, you know, if you're George Hill, you've never been a free agent before, you've never had your NBA payday, you want to look into it and see what you might be able to find and what the possibilities are for you. And if you're the Jazz, you probably also need to just, you know, use some smarts of where the market's going. And the market did some funky things during the trade deadline. A few teams dropped out, and a few teams maybe totally forced to pay their guys. Or if either Kyle Lowry or Drew Holiday leaves their team, then the market gets really small on point guards. So there's some interesting aspects kind of to where the Jazz are and what's with Hill. And it just didn't line up. It's not an indictment on either side of Hill doesn't want to be with the Jazz or the Jazz don't think George Hill is important. Dennis Lindsay obviously adores George Hill. Quinn Snyder adores George Hill, and George Hill seems to like it here. But he also, you know, if I'm George Hill, by the way, I got to be honest, I like Utah a lot, but I'm going to free agency. I'm awfully close to it. I'm going to be 31 years old opening day next year. It's my last payday. Frankly, as the 31-year-old point guard, the Jazz better make sure they know exactly what they want to do with a 31-year-old point guard too. I would just point out that side of the story. But if I'm George, I'm going to go to free agency, and I want to see, because if nothing else, let me get the max offer from Brooklyn, Philadelphia. I don't ever have to use it, but it does change the number that Utah or somebody else who's good comes into me with. So I get it. What do the Jazz do now? They have all this cap money. So from the fact that Jazz are under the salary cap floor, that money will, in all likelihood, unless the Jazz do something between now and the end of the season, that money will get distributed to the players' union and then sent to our players. So our players actually all got a little payday out of it. The second one is, do the Jazz just let all this cap money just go for naught? And the answer to that's no, because the salary calendar turns over on July 1. July 1 is when the salary calendar turns over. And so there are two scenarios here where the Jazz could do something. Between now and the end of the regular season, this is the unlikely scenario. If the Jazz have a player they like in Europe, the Jazz could sign the European player to, you know, whatever. Let's say, and I don't think this player exists. And that is, I'm just trying to think of best ways. So let's say there's a really good player out there. I was going to play around with an example and then decided that the example would go out of hand. And the Jazz want to offer him they could sign him for $8 million this year using their cap money, and they actually have more than that, and then actually decrease it whatever amount they want to the next 3 years and sign a guy to a three-year, $20 million deal. You know, and so somebody similar to like Alex Abrines, I don't know if he exists, who Oklahoma City got. So that's one. That's the unlikely scenario, but they can do that still. The second thing is that any trade the Jazz make prior to July 1 can use that cap space. So draft night or prior to draft night, the Jazz could go acquire a really one-sided trade with a lot of cap space on it. Think of Oklahoma City and Orlando made a big trade. And actually, if you study the NBA, those trades are often some of the most interesting trades. So those also are trades where someone might want to get under the luxury tax or they might have a big free agent coming. So the Jazz could go acquire a player prior to the draft or right in the draft, prior to July 1 in a deal using their cap space still. And for all you know, Indiana can decide they're done with Jeff Teague and he's a free agent, I think, somewhere, so I don't think that's a great example. But, you know, there could be a player. Miami could decide that they're done with Goran Dragic. He's got a bunch of years on his deal. That's when Miami's going to make the move. And so the Jazz trade and acquire Goran Dragic. And now they don't have to go to free agency with George Hill. They let him go. They use their cap space differently. And the Jazz are able to use that cap space there to pull off that move. So, there's a bunch of different opportunities. Toronto isn't going to be in huge financial trouble coming up here. And Corey Joseph is a really nice player. He's not having a great year, but he's a really nice player. Do the Jazz suddenly read the tea leaves and realize, you know what, we need security for if George Hill goes somewhere else. And Corey Joseph could be both a starter and a backup in the NBA. So we're going to make a deal, relieve them their salary burden, use our cap space. We have Corey Joseph. Now we still try to sign George Hill, but at least we have a veteran backup if we need it in Corey Joseph, and he can play, you know, whatever it might be. In some sense. So there's just a million opportunities that still are there for that cap money. So anyone who said that the Jazz let that cap money go, that's a short-sighted look. What they did likely do is let player floor money go, and that player is going to get distributed to a bunch of the players on the team. All right, tonight they've got the Minnesota Timberwolves. Since they are playing without Zach LaVine now, and they're actually playing well. Since LaVine went down on the 4th of February, and since then they have arguably been playing better, which is surprising. It's a really huge setback for that franchise, similar to the Dante setback for us. It just can't be underestimated how big it's been and how big it will be for them. You just can't trade him. You have to wait for his development. He's such an athlete. You're not sure how he's going to come back. There's so many different aspects to it. But since then, they're 5-4. They've played a little bit better even recently, in which they have won 5 of their last 8 overall. So they lost their first one without LaVine and got better since then. Their offense has not missed a beat. They're scoring 110 points a game. Their offensive efficiency in the 9 games without LaVine is a 114.2, which the league averages about 105. Their effective field goal percentage is 53.5. So without LaVine, they're the 4th best offense in the league and the 20th best defense. It's kind of surprising that they've been able to be that good. But they have been better offensively without LaVine, which is surprising. It's because Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins have been brilliant. Towns is averaging 24 points, 12 rebounds, and 3 assists since LaVine got hurt. Wiggins is averaging those are his season numbers. It reset on me.
Let me pull up my other note for you and make sure I have that correct. Because I think he's averaging actually more. So he's been mammoth all season long. Wiggins, since LaVine has gone down, is averaging 30 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. And Towns is averaging 29 points, 14 rebounds, and 2 assists. Just remarkable. And then they got Ricky Rubio, who for all the talk is 11 points and 11 rebounds a game. Excuse me. So those guys are really, really rolling. And that is awfully impressive stuff for this team. Shabazz Muhammad's bringing him something. They're not a great defensive team, but this is a tough one. Our guys played a lot of minutes last night, fought awfully hard to get back, and this is a tough one tonight. And you got to get it. This is also one where we've been great all year. Winning games against below 500 teams has been a signature of what the Jazz have done. They have not won games against above 500 teams, as last night showed yet again. All right, that is today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Thanks to SeatGeek for the sponsorship. Use the promo code LOJAZZ. If you'd like to advertise with Locked On Jazz, you can email me at dlock09@gmail.com. And remember the reunited game coming up here against the New York Knicks, and they've got this huge ticket package. For the longest time, it says starting at $48. I just thought that was a ticket to come to such an awesome event. It turns out you actually get a ticket to the Portland game and a Stars ticket as well. And pre-sale for 2017-18 season tickets are underway. And hopefully, you saw the awesome additions food-wise to the arena. Maxwell's, J-Dog's, R&R, Hires Big H, Chabosco's, and Cubbies are all coming in to the arena. So next year is going to be really awesome. So get on your pre-sale, get the playoff tickets now. That is today's edition of Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.